I would like to read to you from the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 19, which is part of God's holy and living and life-giving word. And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we have already been filled with your word and have filled our hearts with singing towards you. Help us, Lord, now to ponder the words of this angel who declared this good news of the coming Savior that has come and that we celebrate today. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, I've always been fascinated by angelic appearances in the Bible. Now, if we were to draw a timeline of world history and we would place all the angelic appearances on there, we would soon notice that angelic appearances are very rare. They don't happen very often, and even in the Bible, we see them regularly, but they're spread out over long periods of time. But if we were to look at that timeline and see where all the angels appeared and brought messages to men, there'd be one spot in history where suddenly a lot of appearances of angels occurred. And this one appearance is the declaration of Jesus Christ, the coming of God into this world as a baby. We see, for example, angels coming to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, an angel coming to Joseph and to Mary, and the shepherds, of course, heard the angelic choirs singing and declaring the good news. Now, I've always wondered what these angels were like, and not so much of what they looked like, but more what their lives. We only see it once they appear to men. But what was their life like in heaven? Or rather, what is their life like in heaven? And why did they have such zeal to come and sing and declare the good news of the coming of Jesus? Well, tonight I would like us to consider the angel Gabriel. And really what I'd like us to see is the message that the angel Gabriel brought. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but his name means God is my strength. And so the angel Gabriel, he promised the birth of Jesus 600 years before he was born. Did you know that the angel Gabriel knew Jesus before he became a man? He had stood in the presence of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before Jesus was born. Did you know that this angel is still alive, still standing in the presence of the glorified Savior, still seeing Jesus, and by all accounts of what we see in Scripture, still singing God's praise? Now, what I want to do is show you the four appearances of Gabriel, and we don't have time to dive into all these messages, although I wish we could, but I'd like us just to get an overview of his message before we come to our passage here. Gabriel first appears, at least by name, in Daniel chapter 8, verse 17. He appears to the man who became an under-ruler or one of the principal political figures in the Babylonian Empire, Jewish exile, Daniel. And his first appearance here in chapter 8 is when Daniel desires the explanation of this vision of a ram and a goat. We will not go into that tonight. But then we read this in Daniel 8, 16 to 17, and it reveals us a little bit about what kind of a task Gabriel received. We read, "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, and it called, 'Gabriel, make this man understand the vision.' So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. And he said to me, "Understand, O Son of Man, that the vision is for the time of the end." Gabriel is an angel who is introduced in the book of Daniel as an angel who had the specific message to bring about the end times. Now, this is 600 years before the birth of Christ. This is still a long time before Jesus was born, and 2,000 years later is where we find ourselves today. And yet this angel is declaring the last days. Now, if we had time to study Gabriel's messages, we would see one theme that was Gabriel's highest note, if you will, the message that he was always to bring in connection with the last days or the end times. It was that in the last days, a prince of princes, a king of kings would come, and he would establish a kingdom that would never end. Daniel lived in a time of moving kingdoms, of great empires falling and new empires rising. By God's grace, he was able to look through the corridors of time and see future empires that weren't even there yet arising and taking over the world. But beyond that, Gabriel was to show him one day a king would come that would be the king of kings, the kingdom that would usurp, so to speak, all the empires of the world. Well, that brings us to the next appearance, because Gabriel is giving more information in the second appearance to Daniel in Daniel 9, 24 to 25. This is what it says. And when we read this, I want you to not just hear it, but see what is going on here. Daniel has just been confessing his sin, and he writes, "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, 'O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding.'" Now, before we go on and speak a little bit on the message that he declares, did you notice what happened there? Doesn't this teach us something about God and the angels in prayer? Hey, look at Gabriel's eagerness. He comes with swift flight. I mean, this is hard for us to imagine how angels fly. I've never seen how angels fly, but Daniel says he came with lightning speed, so to speak. He came quickly. He was in a hurry. Well, why? What he's about to declare doesn't happen for hundreds and sometimes thousands of years. It wasn't that he was almost too late to deliver the message. No, God sent him with the eagerness to bring the message so that Daniel would quickly know the message of hope that this angel would bring. It's really a revelation of God's eagerness to answer our prayers that he sends here to Daniel, this angel with swift flight. Now here is the message. Daniel 9, 24 to 25. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the world to restore and build Jerusalem, and to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Jesus is being declared by Gabriel here. If we had to summarize his message to Daniel, the angel declares this: "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Even though you're far away from your own country and the whole world seems to be crumbling down and falling apart, and you're wondering, will the prophecies of the man of old ever be fulfilled? Is God still in charge of this world? Is there still hope in this world?" The angel is sent with the message: "Don't be afraid, for the time is already decided. that Jesus Christ, or here, the Anointed One, the Prince, will come to save your people, to end sin, and to establish the kingdom. You see, beloved, Daniel heard the gospel from Gabriel 600 years before Jesus was coming. The whole ministry is summarized by this holy angel in response to the prayer of Daniel. God is sending the message. It is coming. It is coming. And it's coming nearer and nearer and nearer. All the prophecies of old, some of which you've heard and will hear tonight being read hundreds of years before Christ ever came into this world through the Virgin Mary. Hundreds of years before the angel Gabriel summarized what Jesus would do. Now think about this. After this message, the angel goes back to God and spends 600 years before he ascends again to the earth. We now fast forward to this passage in Luke 1:19. And the angel answered him, that's Zechariah, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring to you this good news." Ponder these truths. Now, there's not a Bible verse that tells us when the angels were created, but I think it is clear that they were created during the first 6 days of creation. For afterwards, God rested from his work of creation. This means that Gabriel had been standing 4,000 years in the presence of God. 4,000 years seeing the unimaginable glory of Jesus Christ. He had seen the glory of the uncreated eternal Son of God for 4,000 years. And he tells us now, "My word is true. I stand before God. I've come to you from the presence of Almighty God with good news." And then he goes back again. Now the question is, will he come back one more time? And he did. He sent to Mary. And this is the last appearance we have of this angel, Gabriel, in Luke 1:30 to 33. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" I want you to understand, all these messages that we hear tonight, all these prophecies that are so familiar to our ears, just understand, not to fixate on an angel, not to go into fanciful ideas of what he looked like and all of that, but to understand the reality of this messenger and what he declares. He is sent to the home of a humble virgin, of a young lady, to tell her that the uncreated God who formed him will be born through her. That the one, when he appears to men, like we saw in Daniel, they fall down as dead before him because he is this angelic being. And yet, compared to him, Christ is far more glorious, far more mighty, eternal in glory. And from the first day of his dawning of his life, he has seen the glory of this God. Now he goes into the house, made out of rubble and dust, to find this young girl and say, "God, will be placed in your womb and be born a human being. This must have been and still be the wonder of all the ages, isn't it? I mean, this is, for as far as we can tell, the angelic host sees what happens in the world. They saw man's fall. They saw our rebellion. They see our imperfection and all these things. They see it and they see it and they see it. And then one day, this angel has to declare, God will be born a human being, a little baby, to this young woman, to walk in the weakness of human flesh on this earth. Beloved, should we not marvel at this glorious birth? This humble virgin will give birth to a baby boy who is the long-awaited Savior, whose reign will have no end. He will sit on David's throne. And then Mary asks him, well, how is this possible? How will this happen? The angel responds with these words, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. What a privilege this angel Gabriel had to declare the birth of the Son of God, to be able to explain to Mary that the Almighty would overshadow. Like the way in the Most Holy, that it's covered, it's there in the shadow where the Almighty dwells. So Mary will be overshadowed by the Almighty so that God would be placed in her and be born child. Beloved, the angel that stood in the presence of God came to mankind with eagerness and great flight to tell that Jesus would be born. How much more should we in response fly to God in our prayers? Should tonight lift up our voices and sing? Because he didn't just come to be a human being and to be kind of compared to us. He came to take our place. He came to take on himself, human flesh, to take the judgment of God for our sins. To not just be born through a humble child, but to be born to take the curse of our sins, to die our death. God made man. Beloved, this is indeed wonderful news. This is reason to celebrate with singing. This is reason to use our gifts and our talents, our singing, our organization of gathering together. This is a message worth dying for. Because this is a miracle that is greater than anything you'll ever hear in your life. What you hear being read tonight is a message more wonderful than any human being has ever come up with. This is more glorious and more worthy than 1,000 worlds together. To know this makes the poorest rich, the weakest strong, and the hopeless filled with glory. And so let us praise him every day of the year. Let us remember the angel Gabriel and his message so we might respond by praising God. And one day, praise God with the angels forever and ever as we will stand in his presence seeing the glory of Christ, the God-man exalted on high. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to lead and guide the choir and all of us in singing, those who read your word, so that we would hear, so that our minds and hearts would be awakened to the glorious message that a Savior has born, the kingdom has come, and the kingdom will never end. It's spreading across this world today, and it will grow into all eternity with one King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.